Lord this evening. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to be covering verses 28, 29, and 30. 28, 29, and 30 of Romans chapter 8. Of course, I've been doing a study through that. Now, I want to try to come back and finish it. But Romans 8 is one of the greatest chapters in Scripture. And it's just right there for you to study in, and it'll make you grow tremendously as a Christian. So I encourage you that you do that. So all I'm going to do tonight is these three verses. And let me go ahead and read them. We'll have another word of prayer. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that are to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the people that are here this evening. We're thankful for how you've carried us through a lot of hard times this past year or two, and we're thankful that we still have people, and we're thankful that they're here, and we're so thankful for many things that you've done. We don't deserve the very least of your blessings, but Father, we're thankful that the church still stands, and the preaching's going out, and people's coming in and out, and we're thankful for all of that. Continue to add to our church such as pleases you. We pray for our nation. We pray that you would grant us grace in this time of affliction that the United States is in. We pray for the military that's over in where they're at, and we pray that you protect the women and the men that are involved in that. Father, we pray that we would have a revival in our nation. We pray that people would see a need of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, now, we're going to go ahead and jump into this. And in Romans chapter 8, and these three verses are really what I would call a deep text. And it's pretty easy to follow. It's pretty easy to follow. But sometimes people have problems with it. And I probably had problems with it years back. But you got to read the Scripture and see, and then search the Scriptures to see whether it's so. I think that's what everybody should do. And these three verses, I think you'll indeed enjoy them, I hope. Now, here's one that's in verse 28. We'll go ahead and start there. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. All things work together for the good to them that love God. Now, beloved, the first thing I want to talk a little bit about is about loving God. I think that's the greatest thing anybody could ever do, is to love God. Now, we realize God loves us, but we also realize that we need to love Him. Love Him with all of our heart, love Him with all of our soul, love Him with all of our might, love Him with all of our strength. We are expected as His children to love Him, and He deserves our love. And a lot of times when I do my prayer walks and things, one of the things I do is I'll thank Him for the blessings that He's given to me. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for Him. Our God is a great God, and He's done great things for us. I think one of the problems that we... I think one thing we should constantly do, let me do it another way. I think what we should constantly do is we should count our blessings. All God's people say it. I think you ought to count them. I think a lot of times we don't count them. We got about 100,000 things to be thankful for, and then we got one thing, we'll quarrel over that all the time. That's kind of spoiled, I think. I really do. I don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. So that's why it's so very, very, very important. Very, very important to be close to your God. So all things work together for the what? For the good. Is that just some things? Or is it all things? All things work together for the good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to the purpose. Not just some things. All things. God can take things and work them out. Exactly in a perfect way for his children. And he's a tremendous God. So, we are to work, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that what? Those who love God. Now, this isn't everybody. This isn't everybody. It tells you who he's speaking to in the text. It says, we know that all things, not just some things, work together for the good to them that what? Love God. Now, beloved, let me ask you, do you love the Lord? Do you love him? You should love him more than anything, I think. Anything that you love more than God is basically an idol. Anything you put ahead of God is an idol. And sometimes you have to look at and see how many idols you might have in your life, because sometimes you need to get rid of those kinds of things because they stand between you and closeness with God. So I think it's why it's important, why it's very important that you have a close walk with the Lord. And you have to spend time with the Lord. And I think he expects you to do that. All things work together for the good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's a tremendous text. It doesn't say some things works together for the good. It says all things works together for the good to them that love God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God can take things that looks, you know, array, and he can take them and get involved and move things around a bit and work it all out for the good. Have you ever had God work things out for the good for you? How many ever have it? Raise your right hand. Oh, man, he just worked it right out for you. Open the door. It might have been it needed to have a door open. He just opened the door up, and he blessed you. And that's the way that he works. So even things, let me go ahead and read it. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. See, them that who? Love God. That's who we're talking about. People who love God. Now, does everybody love God? Well, absolutely not. This text is for God's people. That's what it's for. We are the people that love God. All God's people say it. That's a big deal, I think. And I think that God's people should tell him constantly, I love you. I love you. I think God's people should tell their Savior, their God, God, I love you. I appreciate all that you have done for me. Oh, my. How great things God has done for his people. And we got reasons to rejoice in the Lord. You know, the Scripture says to rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. The problem is God's people don't rejoice much. They quarrel a lot, or they whine a lot. We all do it. But boy, that don't get you close to God when you quarrel and and all these kinds of things. It just don't work very good. It'll make you sad. It'll make you weak. It'll make you depressed. All these things. So it's important that you have a close walk with the Lord. All right. So all things work together for the what? All things work together for the good to them who love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. And God has a purpose for those that He's drawn to Himself. And He has something for them in their life. And they should, with their life, serve the Lord all their days. I don't know when Jesus is coming to you. No one's told me the time. Anybody told you the time? We don't know when the time's going to be. But I tell you one thing. You got to always be ready to meet the Master. And one of the things that we should always constantly do is look forward to the day. Lord, it might be today. It might be this evening. Could Jesus come this evening? We push that off a lot, don't we? We do push that off a lot. But He really literally could come at any time. The trumpet could sound. The dead in Christ will rise first, the Scripture says. And, I mean, you just think when that day and time will come. It could come today. And what happens, I think, is I like to take my mind sometimes and just think about how it's going to be. I like to think about that. You know, he's going to come with a shout, ain't he? The voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ then will do what? They're going to rise. We might see that. We might be in that. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? I think it's important that God's people realize what we have. All right, all things work together for the good to them who do what now? Those who love God. Do you love God? What's the evidence of loving God? Just asking. What's the evidence of loving God? Loving the Son, for one thing, right? Do we have a love for His book? Do you have love for His book? Do you spend time in His book? Do you love His people? Do you have a love for His people? God's people should love one another. God's people should love one another. So these are things that God's people must have. That's how you get close to the Lord. Okay? So God works all things together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the what? The called. Notice what else He calls God's people here. He calls them the what? The called. Who's the called? Well, the called is those that are born again. That's what happened whenever they were born again, whenever the Lord saved their soul. They were called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for those He calls. He has a purpose for those He calls. What are we here for? What are we here for? What are we supposed to be doing? What's our life all about now? At one time, we might have lived for worldly things. At one time, we might have lived for other kinds of things. But when you're born again, we are the called according to His purpose. And God has a purpose for His people. And God's purpose will be carried out. It will be carried out. It's not going to fall off on the ground somewhere. It will be carried out. So, I'm thankful tonight for those who love God. Love Him. Who are we to love more than anybody else? We're to love God above all things. Nothing should take priority over our Savior. All God's people said. He's number one in our lives. We love Him because, you know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what God did for us. That's a great salvation, isn't it? It's a great thing to have. It's a great thing to have in your heart. Okay, let's move on. All things work together for the good to them that, what now? Those that love God. Does everybody love God, though? Not everybody. Not everybody loves God. But God's people love Him. Why does God's people love Him so? Because He gives you eternal life. See, if you don't have eternal life, you have eternal death. That's a frightening thing. Do you agree? I mean, that's a frightening thing. You either have eternal life or you will face eternal death. Done so many funerals. And the more you go to, it just seems like it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And when you think about those kinds of things, you think, man, oh man. When you put somebody down in that ground, what matters when you put them in the ground? Were they ready? Yeah, that's exactly right. Were they ready? Did they know Jesus? A lot of people live for worldly things, but when the time of death comes, and if they die without Jesus, like the scripture says, having no hope, and without God in the world. So God's people needs to be strong in sharing the gospel message to people that they love, because I don't know when all this is going to come to an end. If anybody tells you that they know, they don't know. Only the Father knows when that's going to happen. Okay, all right. So we are the called according to His purpose. So let me ask you a question tonight: does God have a purpose for you? If you're here tonight and born again, does God have a purpose for you? Well, of course, God has a purpose for you. Now, sometimes people say, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, just be faithful. If you're faithful, that's the greatest thing you can be in a church anyhow. Yeah, I don't know what my talent might be. Well, if you don't know what your talent might be, then just be what? Just be faithful. And being faithful is a great thing. After all, when we go to heaven, one of the greatest statements you'll hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to do all the days of our life. We want to be faithful to our Lord. Man, I want to tell you a little something else. We're accountable to our Lord. We're accountable for what we do. We're accountable for what we say. We're accountable for how we live. We're accountable for all of that. So we as God's people seek to be sober, righteous, and godly in this present world because we represent Jesus here. All God's people say it. And God's people should be able to see that in you. All right, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. Now, foreknowledge is to before know is what it means. For we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. Foreknowledge means to know before. That's what it basically means. It means to know before. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And the word predestinate means to predetermine. You know, the Lord, by the way, I just want to tell you a little something. Right? These words are in the Bible. Did you realize all of these words was in the Bible? These are Bible words. Who wrote the book of Romans? The Holy Spirit did. These things are true. Do you believe in predestination? No. You best believe in it, because right there's a word that says predestinate in it. It means to predetermine. It means to predetermine. He predetermined to save his people before the foundation of the world was ever laid. That's what predestination is. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Well, I don't believe in predestination. It's in the book. You got to deal with it if it's in the book. Predestination's a true text, buddy. It means to predetermine. And that's what he does in salvation. You know who's over salvation? Does anybody know who's over salvation? God is. God is. Does God know who his people are? Well, absolutely. God knows all of his children. God knows those that's going to be coming for salvation. God knows all of that. God's not on the sidelines in salvation. He still saves. All God's people say it. It's important that people understand that. Foreknowledge. Those that he knew before, he predestinated, predetermined to save their soul. Why were they saved? Because of God. Listen to me, I want you to hear this. I didn't save you. I can tell you how to be saved, but I didn't save you. Do you know who saved you? Does anybody know who saved you? God saved you. You remember Lydia, the seller of purple? How many of you remember her? Lydia, the seller of purple. Let me ask you a question. Who opened her heart? Lord opened it. The Lord opened her heart. And to open the heart means to open your understanding, and that's what he does in salvation. He opens your understanding, and you see the need of salvation, and then you trust him as your Savior. But who gets the glory for the salvation of? God does, because he's the one that does it. He gets the glory for it. All right, stay with me now. I'm going to get this done, so you stay with me a little bit. For whom he did foreknow, that's foreknowledge, to before know. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Predestination is just a word that, what does it do? What is predestination? He predetermined to save you before the world ever began. All God's people say it. That's what the text teaches. For whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed. Now notice what it says, to be conformed to the image of his son. Are we to be like Jesus? Well, we'll actually never be like him until we get a new body, right? One of these days we'll get a new body. When we see him, you know what the Bible says? When we see him, we shall be like him. We'll be like him. Can you imagine to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. I seek to live sober, righteous, and godly, but I still fall short in a lot of ways. Do you fall short in a lot of ways? But one of these days, man, we're going to be like the Lord. We're going to be like Him. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. Can you imagine that? How great that would be. So, whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be made like Jesus. Be made like Him. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He predestinated. Now there, the word predestinate is again. You see predestinate in verse 29? Did you see predestinate in verse 29? Did you see it? You see that the word predestinate in two places there. Predestination is a Bible word. But you can go to a lot of places, you'll never see it, you'll never hear it preached on. Never hear it preached on. Predestination gives the glory for salvation to one person. Do you know who that is? He predetermined to save you before the world ever began. It wasn't the preacher that saved you. It was God that saved you. And that takes all the glory out of man, and it lays it just exactly at the feet of Jesus who saved you. That's why I preach it. It's in the book. You don't hear a lot of messages on predestination to predetermine. He predetermined before the world began to save a sinner like me. He predetermined to save me before the world began. Before the world began to save a sinner like me. Oh, God's people say it. Now, with what I've said so far right now, who's getting all the glory? It's all Christ. It's all Christ. It's all Him. Which is where it what? Which is where it belongs. All right. All right. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, those that He predestinated, those that He predestinated, what's it say He did in verse 30? Somebody tell me. He calls them. He predestinated a people, and then what did He do? He called them. Those He predestinated, He predetermined to save them, and He called them. Oh, by the way, did He do that to Israel in the Old Testament too? Did He? Did He separate Israel to be His chosen people? Did He or did He not? Moreover, whom He did predestinate, what did He do? He called them. Now, this call is an inward call. This is a call to salvation. And that's what the Lord does when He saves a sinner person. If He calls, He'll call you. He'll open your heart and He'll open your understanding and He'll draw you right to Him. That's what He does. Salvation isn't, salvation is something that God does. People like to put God completely out of the picture with regard to salvation. When I'm telling you tonight, who deserves all the glory for salvation is our God. If it wasn't for God, we'd still be in our sin. If it wasn't for Him dying on Calvary and rising again the third day and paying our sin debt, we wouldn't have no hope. So the glory for all of these things is Christ. That's why I like the text so. All right, let me wind it up. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, predetermined. He predetermined to save them. He has a people. Now, if I had a copy of the Lamb's book, you'd know who they were, wouldn't you? But we don't have a copy. Do you got a copy? Do you got a copy of the Lamb's book? Anybody here got a copy of the Lamb's book? Does anybody? You know, he put your name in the book of life before the world began. That's what the scripture says. Before the world began is when he did it. But do you know who they are? Oh, let me say it another way. Do you got a copy of that book? No. So what do we do? Somebody tell me, what do we do now? We preach the gospel to everybody. Yeah. I've been called a hard shell all my days. It makes me madder than a hornet. What's a hard shell? Usually that's someone who don't believe in going out sharing the gospel with people. That's what basically a hard shell is. Man, we believe in preaching the gospel. That's how God saves. That's how God draws. That's how God draws and calls. He does that through his word. He does it. All God's people see it. That's a great thing to me, buddy. Whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now let me wind this up. Four. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, what did he do? What does it say he did? He called them. Is that word predestinate a Bible word? I'm asking. It's in the book, ain't it? He predestinates, and then he called them. Who called them? God did. The Holy Spirit did. So who gets the glory for salvation then? God. That's why I preach it. And that's who gets the glory for it. Okay? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Now get this now. And who he called? What? Those he calls, what does he do? Somebody, would you look at verse 30. Those he predestinate, what does he do? He calls. Those he calls, what does he do? It means he gets saved, doesn't it? That's what justification is, to be justified, declared righteous. He gives you his righteousness. When you go to the book of Revelations and you look at the saints in heaven, they got those white robes on. That's a picture of the righteousness of Christ. All right, let me finish it. He called them. He called, and then he also justified. And whom he justified, what did he do? What did he do? What's the final part of that? Glorification. I'm not in a glorified body yet, are you? I'm not in a glorified body yet, but one of these days I'm going to have one. I'm going to get a body that won't get sick. It won't age, it won't sin, and won't die. Won't get sick, and that's coming. All God's people say. Well, beloved, I hope you enjoyed the message this evening. This is a wonderful text of Scripture. It's a little bit deeper text of Scripture.